Well, we're continuing on with our sermon series that we started a few weeks ago here at SBC. We're calling it Symbols, as we've been looking at some of these very ordinary tools and just things in folks' life that point us to something bigger, that point us to who God is and who we are. And it's incredible when we look at the life of Christ, and really we look at all of Scripture, how many of these sort of symbols that God uses to bring us closer to Him. The symbols we're going to look at today are actually from the Old Testament lesson that Larson read for us today. And these symbols might be a little unusual for us. They're not maybe in our main wheelhouse. They're agrarian symbols, and we're not agrarian people, more or less, except for gardening once in a while. But they're still powerful, and they still preach. And these are symbols of plowshares and pruning hooks. And we heard it in the text that Larson read for us from the prophet Isaiah. Plowshares being, of course, those instruments that we drag behind oxen to make fields, to get ready to plant. And then, of course, pruning hooks to prune and to yield the harvest at the end of the day. And what is wonderful about this text, and we already heard Larson read it for us, is not just what these symbols are, but where they came from. And I think that's the real power of what we're going to talk about. Not just what they are, but where they came from. Our New Testament text today, our gospel lesson, comes from Matthew 5. It's just one verse. And for me, this is sort of the New Testament Jesus equivalent of that Old Testament Isaiah 2 text. And here's the verse. It says, it's one of the Beatitudes, and it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So as we look at these two passages of Scripture, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're our rock and you're our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It would have been not so fun to be Isaiah. Can we agree to that? Reminder of who Isaiah was. He was an Old Testament prophet to the nation of Judah, right about the end of the 8th century, start of the 7th century. He actually did his job for 60 years, which is the longest known prophet that we have. He actually went through 4 different kings. So in some ways, he was the constant. Remember what a prophet did? They really spoke God's word to both the king and to the people. And that's what Isaiah did to these people of Judah over these 4 kings. During that time, it was not a good time in the nation of Israel's life. Let me tell you a few things that happened. Number one, the people of Judah made this pact with Egypt of all nations, right? The ones who had kept them in slavery. And it was sort of a protection pact, like they were the mafia or something. And this was like protection money. And also, in order to get back at their neighbors to the north, the nation of Israel, who were their kind of separated brethren in the north. Not such a good reason to make this pact with Egypt. The nation of Israel got taken over by Assyria. So, right, that happened during Isaiah's time as a prophet. And he even had kings like this man, Manasseh. And this was the last king that Isaiah served. Manasseh, the worst king in the history of Israel. Let me tell you a few things about him. Not only did he not take care of his people, but he brought back things like child sacrifice into Israel, right? These were pagan rituals. He brought that back into Jerusalem and into the people. And in fact, he was such a horrible person. The Talmud, which is kind of the commentaries, the Jewish commentaries in the Old Testament, they say that Isaiah was actually killed by Manasseh, who sawed him in half. He did not like what he had to say. Can we all agree that it would not be fun to be Isaiah? And yet he had this word to speak. Here he is. He's part of this kingdom of Judah. He's part of God's, his voice into these people's lives. And he has this word to speak. And so let's look at that as we begin. This is from Isaiah chapter 1. So this is before the passage that Larson read for us. And this is what Isaiah says to the people. And remember, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand?" Right? So they're coming to worship him and serve him in the temple. "Trample my courts no more," God says. "Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. So this worship that you're performing before me is like, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. And then he says, in some ways, why? Because your hands are full of blood. Right, so here's this people. These are the people God called into existence. These are the people who God has blessed to be a blessing in the world. These are the people who God has set up his temple in their midst in the city of Jerusalem, right? And yet, what are they doing? They're doing all this religious stuff. They're singing the praises. They're acting all righteous. And yet, what is God saying? You're not taking care of the poor and the widows. You're not doing things that I call you to do. You're not being the kind of people that I call you to be. In fact, there's innocent blood on your hands. There's innocent blood on your hands. And in fact, let's go to the next verse. This is just a few verses down. But as Isaiah talks about Jerusalem in particular, it says, she was full of justice. So she's talking about Jerusalem here. Righteous lodged in her. Righteousness, right? So the temple of God lodged in her. And yet what does Isaiah say? But now you're a bunch of murderers. Right? Your hatred and your violence is on par with all the other nations that are surrounding you. And here you are, you're supposed to be righteous, you're supposed to be different. God is saying through Isaiah, but your hatred and your violence is on par with the nations surrounding you. In other words, what Isaiah is saying is that righteousness and violence and hatred can't go together in you. That's not who you're called to be. Righteousness and violence and hatred cannot go together, Isaiah says to these people. Well, I don't know about you, but that's old news, but that's absolutely new news, isn't it? It sounds so familiar to us. About 100 years ago, 1918, World War I, sometimes they call World War I the chemical war. Maybe you've heard that phrase before, because one of the things that was developed during this time, right, with all of our technology and everything, was chemical warfare. The big one then was mustard gas. Mustard gas, as you know, was a pesticide. It was something that was used for the growing of things, right? And yet, folks figured out that, man, if we put this in aerosol form and we shoot it out in these trenches, it'll just run along and take people out on the way. What is that about us? What is it about folks, that we can invent ways to make people suffer? What is it about us when we even do things, we can justify it, we can rationalize and say, well, we do this because we've got this war going on and we need to, and yet we do it and we rationalize it. We put our righteousness and our violence and our hatred together and we come up with these ways to kill each other. We can point at others, but let's be honest, we got to point at ourselves. Now, we are easy targets, right? We got the KKK, right, who are righteous. Righteousness and violence and hatred go together. But there's also other parts of our world that do the same thing, do they not? Think about the incarceration system in the United States. I don't know if you know this, but did you know that we in America, we have the fifth most incarcerated people in the world? And do you know who the other countries are? China, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran. It's not quite the company we want to be keeping, I think. And yet there's something in us, isn't it, that we want justice and we want punishment. We like it. And it even makes itself into our everyday world. But we can also point outside us, but let's be clear, we can also point in us. Because the swords and the spears that sort of propagate this world and build up the power are also things in us. The swords of an angry word, the spears of sort of a passive-aggressive comment, right? These are things that we do that are in our righteousness, maybe, we build up, and yet it is hatred and violence, maybe a different scale, but it's the same thing. Isaiah to the people, why are you doing this? There's blood on your hands. And sometimes we have to accept the same reality. But that's why there's good news. And there's good news in this text today. Sometimes, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes they call Isaiah the fifth gospel. Call Isaiah the fifth gospel, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Isaiah, because there's so much good news in it. And what does Isaiah say? And he says it in this passage, and let's look. And this is what Larson read for us. He said, in the midst of all this, in the midst of all this suffering, in the midst of all this kind of condemnation of the people, saying this is not the way that life should work, this is not the way we live, instead he points them to this. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. This is God, and he says, and they, the people, will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's the symbols that God gives us. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isn't that interesting? What does God say? He's talking certainly about the eschaton, and yet he's also talking about the people. He said, this is what you are called to be. This is who you are called to be. You are not called to be like everyone else, where righteousness is combined with hatred and violence. Instead, you are called to be people, and this is where Jesus comes in, of peace. You are called to be people who take swords and turn them into plowshares. You are called to be people who take the spears of the day that people prop up in power and turn them into pruning hooks for the growth and celebration in the kingdom of God. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. I think that's the New Testament correlation to this plowshares and pruning hooks. John Stott has this great quote about that. He says, now peacemaking, or I might suggest plowsharing and pruning hooking, is divine work. For peace means reconciliation, and God is the author of peace and reconciliation. It's hardly surprising, therefore, that the particular blessing which attaches to peacemakers is that they shall be called children of God. For they are seeking to do what their Father has done, loving people with his love. Isaiah to the people of Jerusalem, you don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to combine righteousness and violence and hatred and think that that is what makes you powerful in this world. No, you are supposed to be different. You take your swords and you turn them into plowshares. You take your spears and you turn them into pruning hooks. And by you and through your peace, through this shalom, you make this world more like the kingdom that I have created it to be. And we are part of that. We are part of that. This last Monday, of course, you know, was our commemoration of Martin Luther King on that day. And Martin Luther King had a lot to do with turning swords into plowshares. And you might know his story. But one of his sermons that he preached, this is 1967, he has this fantastic piece, and I'm not going to preach it like he preaches it, but I'm going to put it on the screen, and I know it's small, so I'm going to read it for you. I'm sorry. He says this, now there's a final reason I think that Jesus says, love your enemies, right? Be peacemakers, be people who work for the wholeness of others, even if they don't treat you well. It's this, that love has within it a redemptive power. And there is a power there that eventually transforms individuals. Just keep being friendly to that person. Just keep loving them. And they can't stand it too long. Oh, they react in many ways in the beginning. They react with guilt feelings, and sometimes they'll hate you a little more at the transition period. But just keep loving them. And by the power of your love, they will break down under the load. That's love, you see. It is redemptive. And this is why Jesus says love. There's something about love that builds up and is creative. There is something about hate that tears down and is destructive. And so love your enemies. Swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. We love those who throw hate at us. And in return, it turns it into something better. Here's my question for you and for me. What are the swords and the spears that we deal with today that we are being called to turn into pruning hooks and plowshares in our lives? Maybe it's something in us that we're dealing with. Maybe it's something in our world that we're being called to absorb and turn over. You know what's interesting about that mustard gas story? Did you know this? After the war, two Yale scientists and doctors. Do you know what they did with that mustard gas? They figured out that same thing that was made to attack to make violence and out of violence and hatred are also the same things that could attack cancer cells in people's bodies. And did you know that a mustard gas was the first chemotherapy drug? Isn't that interesting? Swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. What is it in your life, in our world, that we are being called to turn over through God's help, by God's help, as the peacemakers that God has created us to be? Friends, it's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for us, and may it be so. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful today for your word, and we're thankful that these words to the nation of Judah in the Old Testament are really words to us too. And Lord, forgive us when we, in our self-righteousness, agree that we can hurt others or do things to others because we are better than them, because somehow you might love us more. And God, that is just not true. And so, God, you call us to be your peacemakers in this world, to turn hatred into love. And Lord, may we do so. And God, the way we do so, the reason we do so, is because we know that you have done so for us in Jesus Christ. And so may we cling to him, and may we do it together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.